T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and every week we are here to talk about subjects that we think are important and educational and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And we, as you probably know, I hope you listen all the time, so we talk about cultural events when we can. We talk about educational matters. We do, of course, a lot of law and order because I care about that. And even community theater and activities and institutions that we think are important to our cultural life here in Western New York. But what is probably most important to every kind of life is our health, everything to do with our health. And we do talk about everything to do with our health when we find something that is important for you to know about or that's happening. And right now, this is May, and May is, believe it or not, May flowers, May brings flowers and spring and rain and all of that, but also something very important is it brings to our attention the issues involving mental health that many of us may be suffering, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I just learned this. I just became aware of this because I was attending an opiate addiction task force meeting this week, and talking to me and sitting next to me and talking to the group was the Commissioner of Mental Health, Michael Rainey. And Michael Rainey is a very good friend, not only of mine, but of all of us here on Target, because over the years, he's been kind enough to come and discuss different subjects relating to mental health with us. So now that it is his month, it is the Awareness Month. You've got the whole month to do this, Michael. So we had Michael Rainey here to talk about what we mean by mental health, what the issues are regarding mental health, and what awareness means. And I guess the most important part of the whole conversation, Commissioner Rainey, is just what I said, awareness, right?
Yes, yes. As you said, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. But I think what we need to remember as a community is that we should be focused on and taking care of our mental health every month of the year, every day, very much like we care for our physical health and our physical well-being. If we have an ailment or an ache or pain, we go see a doctor. But quite honestly and alarmingly so, if we are struggling with anxiety, depression, or some other emotional difficulties, some people struggle with that for up to 10 years. And in the end, of those who get help, only 40% may seek help. That means the other 60% are still struggling with an untreated mental health condition.
Well, here's the thing. Lately, there's been a lot of talk about mental health, unfortunately, in the last couple of years particularly, because of whenever there is a violent, in which there have been many, violent attack in school or business or wherever it may be, it ends up being a conversation about two things: the weapons, you know, gun control, number one, and then number two, and I don't know if this is the right order of the conversation, mental health, because it always turns out almost 100% that the person who was the attacker, who was acting out violently, who was, you know, shooting up a school or whatever, was suffering from mental health issues that were basically a lot of times untreated or unrecognized. So I think one of the questions is that everyone's saying is how do we recognize when somebody might be suffering from some issue regarding mental health?
Well, sometimes symptoms and concerns may be more observable or more noticeable. For example, if somebody who's typically easygoing and open and seems happy but is suddenly more withdrawn and standoffish and may appear, you know, may eye contact may be diminished. It could be possible that they may be struggling with some emotional difficulty. You know, as you had said, related to the media, and there have been some very unfortunate events and circumstances that have happened across the nation as well as other areas of the world. And oftentimes some of those individuals do have a mental health condition, but sometimes they may not be treated. And especially untreated, there may be concerns. But there's also some research out there that tells us that typically individuals with a mental health condition might be more vulnerable to being the victim of a physical attack or violence versus being the perpetrator. But again, as I said, you know, there's also some research out there that tells us that untreated serious mental illness, you know, sometimes individuals can act in a violent or aggressive manner, but typically individuals with a mental health condition may be the victim of some level of violence. You know, what I had wanted to say regarding mental health, even the term mental health sometimes comes with a stigma, because mental health should really be about mental wellness and are we taking good care of ourselves, both mentally and physically. You know, you hear a lot about the interactions between the mind and body, and very often if you're taking good physical care of yourself and taking some personal time for yourself to relax or just take a break from all of the everyday schedules, and we live in a very fast environment. Sometimes you may find yourself a little better off if you do take a break and give yourself some time away from it all, even if you're stashing away your electronics and not responding to emails or texts or all sorts of social media.
What an outrageous idea. not looking down at your phone or your iPhone or your text or whatever 24 hours a day. What a really, really exaggerated idea that is. You know, how could you come up with that, Commissioner? Let's go back to something that statistics, which I am really surprised at, that you have in this booklet that you were showing me, that we're talking about something that affects every something person, you know.
Oh, actually, the numbers are 1 in 5. 20% of us. If there were 5 of us in the room, it's quite likely that one of us might have a mental health condition.
Which is, I think, shocking. And then going on to, like, how many people that do have it are treated, and how many, this I could not believe. Major depressive disorder is the leading cause of disability in the United States for people ages 15 through 44?
Yes. And very often you might hear depression defined as the bad cold as it relates to mental health, as in comparison to a physical condition, how a bad cold might be a physical condition. Depression is very typical and very prevalent, and it's also very treatable. I think that's what we may often forget. Just think about how often somebody might go to their family doctor, their primary care provider, with indigestion, with headaches, with trouble sleeping, or sleeping too much, or eating too much, or not eating enough. Very often, those are signs of depression that we don't always recognize. The good news is that there is better integration and better interfacing that we are all working on between the primary care world as well as the mental health world. We still have a ways to go. I'm not sure if this may happen in our audience's primary care office, but there's screenings that are typically done in many, many offices now that relate to depression as well as suicide. So that our primary care providers are also looking out for our well-being.
Because this is something that in the old days they would not think about, or the doctors would not think about and were not trained for. They were looking for physical symptoms, really, as opposed to anything to do with, as you said, mental hygiene, mental health.
Yes. Why is it that we will go to the doctor to take care of our bodies, but we won't go see a professional to take care of our brains?
Well, probably the answer to that is what you've been working on, you as commissioner and various groups and people involved in the health community. And that's the idea that we as a society sort of frown upon and look down on and are maybe afraid of anybody to admitting or seeking treatment for anything to do with mental issues, as opposed to as a cold, like you just said, right?
Yes, you have just hit it on the head. You're referring to stigma, I believe.
I am.
Sadly, stigma can be a real barrier for people seeking treatment. Sometimes there are these preconceived thoughts or notions that makes people afraid, makes people feel ashamed, and they shouldn't. Mental health conditions are just like any other physical health condition. Diabetics may take insulin. Type 1 diabetics would take insulin. People who may have been diagnosed with a serious mental illness may also take medicine. It's a typical treatment. But what we find is most helpful for individuals with mental health conditions is often a combination of some form of medicine prescribed by a specialist, typically a psychiatrist, as well as that in combination with verbal therapies. There are successes with either of those, but what we see is the data tells us that there's more success with the combination of the verbal therapy along with the medication regimen.
What they when they say verbal therapy, they're talking about, it's a funny thing that we're on a talk show, talking therapy, talking to somebody.
Right, counseling.
To a professional, right, to counsel. And that's really important.
Right, right. Another issue around the stigma is those negative beliefs. It's really just unfair. And it's a true barrier. And what we are bound to do through a coalition that has formulated here in Erie County, it's known as the Erie County Anti-Stigma Coalition. This May is our second year of our campaign. So if people were to go to the website known as letstalkstigma.org, they find a plethora of information related to mental health, mental illness, treatment, recovery. And you would also see some very brief videos of individuals in our community who have had bouts with mental health conditions, who are in a very positive state of recovery and continue to function and be contributing members of our community. It could be a firefighter. It could be an attorney. It could be a social worker. It could be a teacher. It could be any one of us. So the message I really want to bring forward is that mental health conditions are treatable, and they don't need to hold us back from living our everyday lives.
And that many people that we see or work with on a daily basis may be suffering, but are getting treatment and are functioning just as well as anybody else.
Yes, yes. Another piece of the data that you were referring to earlier, up to 90% of people have shown significant improvement and diminishing of their symptoms and quality of life with the right treatment.
If you just tuned in, I want to tell you that you are listening to On Target, and I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and our guest today is the Commissioner, Erie County, I guess we should say, but I thought that was kind of obvious, Commissioner of Mental Health, Michael Rainey, and we are talking about May is Mental Health Awareness Month. You got that?
Right, right.
Okay, and so that is one of the reasons that we are trying to bring this issue to the forefront of people's minds.
Yes, yes. There's various events that I would like to remind your audience of. Actually, just last week, last Thursday, there was a very large event. I believe there was probably over 100 individuals there. And those individuals were people from the community, providers, as peers. And this event was at the downtown public library. There were many providers who were providing informational tables. We had a panel of peers, and peers in It's a term that is used for individuals who have lived experience with a condition. In this instance, we're talking about a mental health condition. And they're in a positive state of recovery and are now working to help others in their own in their personal recovery. So the peer panel spoke to their experience with the mental health system, their recovery, things that they found helpful to them. We also had speakers, some experts that spoke as well. We had the executive director of Mental Health Advocates of Western New York. That's the organization that used to be known as Mental Health Association. We also had Maria White, our deputy county executive, speak, and she provided some interesting insights into her views on mental health and some points that people need to consider as it relates to mental health, mental illness, and people getting treatment, and things related to insurance. And she spoke of Timothy's Law as well.
Which is?
Well, there was a situation a few years back where individuals were unable to pay for the costs of treatment for their loved one, and it caused them to go into significant financial hardship. And the result of that is that it brought parity to the insurance world and to costs for care, whereas like you or I might go to our primary care provider or any other specialist and we may pay anywhere from a $10 to a $20 copay. The same is now true if you're going in for mental health treatment or substance use treatment. Those amounts used to be significantly higher and sometimes extremely costly for just the average citizen to afford. So that was some positive change, and Deputy County Executive offered her insights into that as well. So that was one event, and it was hosted by our partners at the Downtown Library. That was followed by what was called a flash mob, where peers and others, other providers who were dressed in the mental health color, which is lime green, were out front with posters promoting mental health awareness, and they were doing, well, various dances. I'm not very good at some of them, but like the electric slide and some of those sorts of fun activities. And it was enjoyed by
many.
And
they were not nude. They were a flash mob, but they were dressed.
They were fully clothed and they were attired in a lime green T-shirt to acknowledge Mental Health Awareness Month. There's another event tomorrow at Erie County Medical Center. The Anti-Stigma Coalition, also known as letstalkstigma.org, is hosting a panel at Erie County Medical Center for the staff. National Alliance for the Mentally Ill has their annual dinner acknowledging mental health awareness, and that is next Thursday at Samuel's Grand Manor. And there's a child mental health awareness event at the Millennium Hotel on May 23rd, and that we have many families and their children invited. It's a very fun event where people display their art. There's educational forums. There's a fair afterward that includes in the lobby of the hotel bounce houses and other games, and a very nice dinner at the hotel. And that the main focus of people being invited to that activity, and that's for families and children to just have a fun night out.
So since you mentioned children and adults, we should make the point, or you should because you know a lot more about it, obviously, that we're talking about all age ranges can be suffering from some kind of mental illness, from childhood until senior citizen.
That's absolutely correct. And very often we can see some signs of serious mental illness with individuals as young as age 14. And it may be, there may be some signs and symptoms as it relates to younger children as well. But typically, what we may often see is the elevation of signs and symptoms in early adulthood, particularly those late teenage, early 20 years around the time that the younger folks in our community are entering college. But with the right treatment and the right care, those individuals may often be able to complete school and be contributing members of the community. Some individuals may have a more difficult time, and it can also be very difficult on families as well. So there's help and assistance in our community for families too. National Alliance for the Mentally Ill is a very large family advocacy organization that provides really good information and support for families. But with respect to treatments and care in our community, we're at a point where we're bringing the care out into the community. Many of our agencies are doing have developed mobile teams, and they're taking the services out into the community. And in particular, some of the pockets within our community that are underserved, like some of our rural areas. Also, many of our clinics have are same day appointments and open slots throughout the day where people could just walk in between these certain periods of the day, get an appointment or see a clinician and begin treatment that day. We continue to have our mobile teams. They're known as ACT teams, Assertive Community Treatment Teams, and those have existed in our community. I think our first team was started by, well, formerly it was Lakeshore, now it's known as Best Self Behavioral Health. Their ACT team began in the year 2000. I think that might have been an earlier year when Your Honor and I first began working together on many of our cases that would move into the criminal justice system, but we're also part of the mental health system.
Well, that's a point that people always make, and you kind of made the opposite point before, which is important, that it is not always a criminal. I mean, that it does not always result in criminal acts, but very often it does. Not only, as you said, a victim, but a person in the perpetrator, and that's why it is part of the criminal justice agenda.
Absolutely. We have seen over the years an increase of people with mental health conditions in our local jail and our correctional facility. In fact, right now on our mental health caseload, we provide the mental health care in the jail and the correctional facility, and we also provide services for the court in the form of competency evaluations, also known as Criminal Procedure Law 730s. 57% of the individuals who are presently in custody of the Erie County Sheriff's Office, both downtown in the holding center as well as out in Alden at the correctional facility, are on the mental health caseload. And we are continuing to work to increase our services and also diversion efforts in the community. There's training opportunities for law enforcement. I believe now we have 14 jurisdictions that have received crisis intervention team training, and many more are signed on. Buffalo, which is a huge undertaking just because of the size of Buffalo Police, have been involved in crisis intervention training as well. And we're always working on programming for alternatives to incarceration, which you are the chair of that board.
Well, I didn't ask for this plug, but yes, it's very, thank you very much. Again, this is a volunteer effort by many, many people. Just before I forget, I wanted to ask the commissioner. We are talking, when we're talking about mental health, about a wide range of mental health issues. In other words, it could cover all the way from, like you said, depression. But so there's a lot of different kinds. There's all the way to bipolar or schizophrenic, and it's all melded in this one title, so to speak.
Right, and if you were to look at it in two perspectives, there are the mood disorders, which more relate to depression and anxiety, and then there are which are also very serious. But with respect to symptomatology and when we're talking about symptoms of psychosis, where individuals may believe, think, or perceive things to be true that may not necessarily be true, we're talking about the psychotic sorts of disorders, and typically those diagnoses are schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and some others. But another concerning mental health condition is that of trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. But the message that I really would like for your listeners to hear is that treatment is available and recovery is possible. Recovery is an individualized process too, It depends on you. It depends on your willingness, your commitment to take care of your mental well-being as well as your physical well-being, and the various treatments that may work for you. That could be any combination of counseling, also known as verbal therapy or talk therapy, and various medication regimens. There's been significant advances in medications over the last several years, where there used to be, for many of them, there used to be pretty significant side effects, but there's been very positive changes in that.
And very positive, thanks to the commissioner and other people that have worked so hard to eliminate the stigma and to get people who are in need of services or help to acknowledge that they are and to go ahead.
I did want to ask listeners to please go to letstalkstigma.org and join us and take the pledge to end stigma.
Thank you. We will, Commissioner. I'm sure all of our listeners will. And thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks for being with us on Target. We hope you've enjoyed and learned something from our conversation. And we will join you again next week. You will join us on Target, I hope, at the same time, same station. Have a really good week. And goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.